If you have your Bible with you, you might like to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And we're looking this morning at the first 10 verses. And you'll see immediately why we had the earlier Bible reading from Ezekiel 34. John chapter 10, let me read out verses 1 to 10 as we begin. These are the words of Jesus. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. But they will by no means follow a stranger, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray once again that you would grant us light as we turn to your word. As we think of the words of the Lord Jesus and the claims that he makes for himself, Lord, please help us to take these things to heart. Help us to see truly who Jesus is and how much we need him as our shepherd and the door of the sheep. We ask these things in his name. Amen. 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 Well, partway through this passage that I've just read to you, John writes the comment, "Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them." Why didn't they understand what Jesus was saying? Well, the simple answer is found back at the end of the previous chapter. You'll remember, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, that we noticed Jesus' interaction with the Pharisees at the end of that remarkable chapter in connection with a man born blind, that they indeed, the Pharisees, were the ones who were spiritually blind. And they couldn't see now as Jesus describes them. For they truly were thieves and robbers who ravaged the flock. They were like the Old Testament shepherds denounced by Ezekiel. Men who should have been guarding and protecting and providing for the flock, but who instead were just out for their own advantage. And the contrast between them and Jesus is just so stark. So we're going to consider this morning three very simple headings. We'll look at the bad shepherds to avoid, the good shepherd to follow, and thirdly, the doorway to abundance. So the bad shepherds to avoid. As I say, Jesus is using familiar Old Testament sort of language. The Pharisees indeed would have known Ezekiel 34. They knew the scriptures very well, with this very graphic illustration of how those shepherds in those days were plundering the sheep. We only read half the chapter. It's a long chapter, but it continues. And Jesus then is using a very similar picture when he speaks of thieves and robbers who don't go into the fold by means of the door. The true shepherd enters by the door of the sheepfold. The Middle Eastern shepherd would have his sheep out on the hills, but at night time, when he wanted them to be safe from danger, he would bring them to the enclosure, usually a stone walled surround with just one door by way of entrance. And then there would be one of the shepherds of these various flocks that are in the fold who would keep watch over the flocks while the other shepherds could have their rest. And if there's one then who comes to get into the sheepfold and doesn't come to the doorkeeper who is keeping watch but seeks to climb over the wall, he's plainly up to no good. Jesus goes on to tell them, I am the door of the sheep. We'll come back to the implications for that later. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. What does he mean by all who ever came before me? Before me can have various meanings, can't it? You can think of the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. And in that context, it means in my presence. Dismiss every other idol that you have. I am the only true God. Other times, of course, we use the words before me to mean ahead of me or prior to me in time. And the last is perhaps the most natural reading. But in that case, Jesus clearly doesn't mean all in an absolute sense. Moses was not a thief. Jesus has said earlier in the Gospel about Moses, he wrote about me. John the Baptist was not a thief and a robber. He pointed people to the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't he? Perhaps rather Jesus is referring to false messiahs. All who claimed to be the Messiah before were fake. But also there is most likely a reference to the Pharisees who had set themselves up ahead of Jesus' coming. They were the authorities of the law. They were the teachers of the law. They were the ones who told people how they should live their lives. And we know that Jesus certainly had stern words for them in other places. They bind heavy burdens, he says in Matthew 23, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders. They themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. They love the best places at the feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, and so on. In other words, they are just out for themselves and don't care for the flock. They're so religious, so apparently pious, but actually they were plunderers of the flock rather than shepherds. And of course, it's quite easy to point to religious charlatans today, people who are obviously a false cult, prosperity preachers who prey off the people's vulnerabilities. Many of them are clearly wolves in sheep's clothing. But some are found in Orthodox denominations. Some use power for self-gratification. Some cause all kinds of damage in churches. They may speak true words, but the damage they do by their actions is tragic. Sometimes they're not spotted till the damage is done. But how can they really be identified? Well, they don't really come through the door. They have not been seeking to exalt Jesus. Thieves and robbers, not interested in exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is clearly identified as the door here, isn't he? Sometimes such people will make much of the Holy Spirit. And we praise God for the work of the Holy Spirit. But we must never overlook that the Holy Spirit's work is to glorify Christ. We need to be warned against false teachers, against thieves and robbers. We're not to follow them. But we're to follow the Good Shepherd. Let's look at what Jesus says then of the good shepherd in verses 4 and following. Verse 2, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, leads them out. In verse 4, when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. See, Jesus is painting here a general picture of shepherds, good shepherds. And these different shepherds may have different flocks. And these different flocks of sheep may share the same sheepfold at night. But in the morning, when one of the shepherds comes, only the sheep that belong to that shepherd would follow him as he calls them. And you know that's true, don't you? Have you ever tried the experiment of going into a field of sheep and calling them and say, come here, follow me? They don't listen to you. In fact, far more likely they'll run away from you. They may be silly sheep, but they're not that silly. But the sheep then, they know the voice of their shepherd. And he will lead them out then to find pasture. And we can apply this to God's under-shepherds. That's the task of Christian pastors and preachers, to lead people, to lead the sheep via the door, to be a means of blessing to them as they're pointed to Jesus. But plainly here, this passage is not really speaking so much about the task of under shepherds, but Jesus is intending us to focus upon himself. He is the good shepherd, he says in verse 11, which we'll look at next time, God willing. But he's also the door of the sheep. Now, we don't need to have any problem with Jesus being described here as both the door and the shepherd. He's using allegorical language. And indeed, the door often was a shepherd. I spoke earlier of the doorkeeper, as Jesus does, but that doorkeeper often would be, in a sense, the door itself. He would fill the gap in the wall. He would place his own body there in that gap that the sheep had gone through to prevent a fox or a wolf or some other wild animal getting in and ravaging the sheep. So it's perfectly legitimate to think of this person as both the door and the shepherd. And notice that Jesus is using the very same terms of himself as are used of Jehovah in the Old Testament. David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And Jesus takes that description and says, "I am the good shepherd." Let's be quite clear, if Jesus is not truly divine, then he is blaspheming by using such a title about himself. But he is the good shepherd. He is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. And his people are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand, as we read from Psalm 95 at the start of this service. Now notice how we read here that the shepherd brings out his own sheep. He calls his own sheep. He brings out his own sheep. They belong to him. Jesus said, John writes it in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." They're his sheep. They belong to him. And he gives them individual attention. He calls his own sheep by name. Isn't that wonderful? Have you been called by the Good Shepherd? Have you heard the voice of Jesus calling to you by name, calling you to himself? He leads his sheep in the green pastures and by the still waters. And the sheep hear his voice. They recognize him. They hear that voice. They know that voice. They follow that voice. I ask you again, have you heard the voice of Jesus speaking softly to your heart? And they obey his voice. They follow him. If you're a Christian here this morning, are you following Jesus wherever he leads you? There's an old hymn with the refrain, where he may lead, I'll follow. My trust in him repose. And ever as I onward go, I'll sing, he knows, he knows. Are you following the Good Shepherd? Those who follow Jesus will not ultimately go astray. Those who are Christ's sheep will not ultimately be misled. Sometimes it does take a while for a false teacher to be exposed. Those who are the sheep of Christ will recognize eventually and will make sure they only follow those who are truly pointing them to Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd that we must follow. We're going to be thinking more about the good shepherd and all that he does in the next week or two, when we look at his description of the character of this good shepherd. But for this morning, it's enough just to note that he's the shepherd who leads his people in the right way, in the green pastures and by the still waters. He's the one who restores our souls. Is he the one that you're following today? And thirdly then, Jesus is the doorway to abundance. I am the door of the sheep. Jesus is still speaking of the door into the fold. And the fold then represents the kingdom of God. It is the spiritual Israel. Jesus says in verse 16, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. And Jesus was speaking there clearly of the fact that he had his people, not only from among the Jewish nation, but also from among all the other nations of the world. And he would gather them together into one spiritual family. We understand why sometimes when people come to another country, people coming from other countries to this country, find themselves naturally gravitating towards a congregation that speaks their language. And so the danger is, or the tendency then is, that there are different congregations, English-speaking congregations, Farsi-speaking congregations, Romanian-speaking congregations, and so on. We can understand that, but it's sad when that happens. Because we're all one fold if we belong to Christ. And we mustn't allow language barriers to separate us. Because we are all one flock. And Jesus is the door into this fold, into this spiritual Israel. We sometimes speak of baptism as the door to church membership. And so it is. But you could go through that door without ever truly coming to Christ. Baptism doesn't save you. Church membership doesn't save you. You could deceive a whole array of very wise and spiritual men as to your testimony and become a member of a Christian church. But unless you have come through the door that is Christ, you are just deceiving others and deceiving yourself. Christ himself is the door. Again, I've pressed this point repeatedly as we've continued through this gospel, that it's Jesus himself that John is bringing his readers to. Of course, we learn from Jesus' teaching. Of course, we are to follow Jesus' example. Certainly, it's vital to trust in his atoning work upon the cross. But our preeminent focus must be on the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the door. He is the good shepherd. And John is ever concerned to draw us to the very person of the Saviour. And that's my concern as well. That Jesus himself should be the object and focus of your adoration. Jesus is the door. What sort of door is Jesus? Well, let's be clear, he is the only door. A sheepfold would only have one entrance. There is only one way into the fold of God. You must come through this door. But Jesus is indeed the doorway to certain salvation. I am the door, Jesus says. If anyone hears, beg your pardon, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Anyone, whoever he may be, if anyone enters by the door, he will be saved. John Bunyan, in his famous allegory, The Pilgrim's Progress, speaks of hypocrisy and formalists who got into the way by climbing up over the wall. They entered some other way. They were ultimately lost. You must go through the wicket gate, through the door, through Jesus Christ, in order to be saved. If you think yourself too bad, if you think you've been too much of a rebel for too long, if you think too much of your life has now passed for you to come to Christ, no, if anyone enters by him, he shall be saved. And he will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is the door to spiritual nourishment for your soul. It's as we feed upon Christ that we are spiritually refreshed. Jesus said in verse 10 here, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He is the doorway to life and abundance. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he has come to give his sheep eternal life. I've come they might have life and have it more abundantly. Or it could be rendered simply, I have come that they might have life and that they might have abundance. An abundance of God's grace. John Bunyan, to quote him again, entitled his famous autobiography, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. Of course, he's citing Paul in Romans there, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. There is an abundance of God's grace in Jesus Christ. There's an abundance of joy to be found in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, being in his presence. There's an abundance of peace. In the midst of a world of turmoil and tragedy, a world of heartache and war, Jesus has come that we might have abundant peace. What a contrast this all is to the thieves and robbers that were the Pharisees. They made religion burdensome. They didn't feed the flock, but they rather ravaged the flock. They left souls wounded, bruised, and troubled. Jesus, by contrast, brings you life abundant and an abundance of blessings. He himself is the doorway to such abundance. He is the good shepherd who will lead his people safely the glory. So to sum up this morning, Jesus is the door of the sheep. And any under shepherd can only rightly lead the sheep as he comes to the door. And then he can safely lead God's people into green pastures. But ultimately Jesus himself is the shepherd in this passage. All lesser shepherds fade away. He's the one you must follow. He's the one you must trust. He's the one who has come to give us life. And having the Lord Jesus Christ, we have abundance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent your Son to be the Saviour of the world. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came, the door of the sheep, the Good Shepherd himself. We pray, O Lord, that we may not heed the voice of strangers, but may ever follow you wherever you may lead us. We thank you that you are the Good Shepherd who provides for his sheep such abundance. We thank you that in you we have peace and joy and rest. And we pray that each one of us here may know the joy and peace that comes from believing in Jesus. Oh Lord, we pray, would you cause your voice to be heard again this morning as your Holy Spirit takes the inspired words of Scripture and my attempts to expound them and applies them to the heart or hearts of those here who need to hear it. Lord, we pray, work powerfully by your Spirit, calling the sheep to yourself, we ask. Hear us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're going to be thinking about the Good Shepherd again next week as well. So this morning we're going to end with a modern rendering of Psalm 23. And next week we'll have the more traditional rendering. So our last hymn is 808 if you're using the hymn book. The Lord is my shepherd, I'll not want, he makes me lie in pastures green. Stand to sing.
Anoints my head with oil.
Let's close by saying the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.